WNYC Studios is supported by the Public Theater, presenting the world premiere of Jordans, a new play by Ife Olujobi, about two young Black colleagues forced together and torn apart by their race, ambition, and otherworldly circumstances. Directed by Whitney White, begins April 11th. Learn more at publictheater.org.
Call him one of the big guns in politics. You're hearing him right there. Kid Rock, the multi-platinum patron saint of white rappers in Michigan. A state which has a long tradition of metal and hip-hop. The very hip-hoppy Eminem, of course.
I can't tell you what it really is. I can only tell you what it feels like. And right now it's a steel knife in my windpipe.
The very un-hip-hoppy heavy metalhead Ted Nugent. And while Nugent is a frequent pro-gun libertarian guest on Fox News, Kid Rock seems to have taken his own step into politics.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free.
His song Born Free was a campaign song for Mitt Romney. Kid Rock performed at a number of Romney rallies. He's a guy having a good time, looking for a new challenge, you might say, with an attractive demographic for Republican politicians. And it's not the first time Kid Rock has showed up at a party at just the right time. Khalifa Sena has an amazing profile of Kid Rock in the current New Yorker. Khalifa, welcome to the program. And what does Kid Rock want?
That's a good question, because he's a performer who's had a career that he couldn't have predicted, right? If you go to Kid Rock as a teenager and be like, oh, just wait, you know, in 20 years you're going to be a country star endorsing the Republican candidate for president, he would have said, well, that's not exactly what I have in mind.
And he's not the kind of person that if you'd gone to him in high school, you know, he would have said, I have a dream to be greatest and nothing will stop me.
He might have said, I have a dream to be the greatest rapper in high school. I think he's kind of driven by these two impulses. And one is to not take himself too seriously, not be taken too seriously, to have a good time. And the other is there is somewhere in there a certain yearning for respectability, for credibility. That's why he would do something like, you know, recruit the revered producer Rick Rubin to make his kind of serious album, Born Free. And I think one of the interesting things about Kid Rock is those things work together fairly well. In other words, you know, if he's going to be singing a sort of a heartfelt, country-tinged ballad, it makes it better in a sense that it's coming from the same guy that also does Ba Wit Da Ba.
And do you find him a heavily managed character in the sense that people around him are sort of shaping this person, or is he doing it himself?
No, there's definitely no one pulling the strings. I mean, I think I might have offended him at one point slightly, because his father was a really successful car dealer.
Lincoln dealer.
Yeah, had a couple of Lincoln Mercury dealerships in the greater Detroit area. And Kid Rock has some of that salesman's personality. He's, you know, if he's playing you a new song of his, he's looking you in the eye while it's playing. Maybe he's singing along. So maybe he's singing along while kind of staring at you. So he has this urge to kind of win over everyone who's in the room. And he loves talking. He loves being around people. And he's, you know, sometimes when you're around people who are prominent, who have some celebrity, you get the sense that it can be kind of exhausting to be that person. And at the end of the day, they need to shut it off and go have some quiet time. Kid Rock is more the kind of personality where he gets energized by having people around, and he's kind of the last man standing at his own party.
Now, you said you offended him at one point.
Well, I don't mean offended him. I mean, I might have mildly offended him, because I said, you know, his father had this idea that his two sons, each of them would inherit one of the car dealerships. And as it turns out, neither of them wanted it. And at one point I said to Kid Rock, I said, you know, if you'd wanted to, I think you'd have been a great car salesman.
And he didn't like that.
Well, no. He was fine with it. It wasn't necessarily how he sees himself. But what I meant was that this is a guy who can sell you anything. And that's part of the success, part of the story behind his success, is that when he puts his mind towards, you know, singing a country song on stage, he's fully committed to it, and he's fully committed to making sure that song connects. And I think that's part of what explains why he has kind of outlasted and outshone a lot of other musicians who might have seemed better equipped to have the kind of success he does. He's never going to be the greatest singer in terms of, you know, hitting the high notes and those kinds of things, but he's really good at selling a song.
Did he sell himself to Mitt Romney and the Republicans, or is he just their demographic right now?
I think it might have been the other way around. I mean, if you look at Mitt Romney came to him in the waning days of the Michigan Republican primary. And if you look at people in the state of Michigan who might possibly endorse Mitt Romney but who aren't already identified as Republicans, he's probably one of the most influential. And so I think it was more a case of he's a guy who has a big fan base, huge following, especially in the state. And I'm sure some number of his followers are swing voters, and Kid Rock had not been known as someone who's really into making endorsements. So I think they felt it would actually be really helpful for him to endorse Mitt Romney. And after the primary, which Mitt Romney defeated Santorum by about 3 percentage points, Mitt Romney sent Kid Rock a note saying that, you know, your support may well have made the difference.
Now, you quote some of his political philosophy here and his rationale for supporting Mitt Romney. Can you recall what he told you?
Well, he said that one of the things he kind of kept coming back to is, you know, Obama's kind of a cool guy. Mitt Romney's the nerd. I want a nerd watching my money. I want a nerd in charge of this stuff. And that's not to say that he doesn't think deeply about that. He kind of enjoys being sort of irreverent when he talks about these things. But I think he also has, you know, he was raised in a Republican family in the exurbs of Detroit. And I think he has, you know, a certain skepticism about government programs and likes the idea of someone in charge who's watching the pennies and not spending too much.
But he's not part of the militia movement there in southern Michigan, Monroe. Does he sort of rope in a little bit of that culture as well?
Well, I don't believe he belongs to a militia, but he certainly has, you know, one thing that unites the country and hip hop worlds is an interest in firearms. And he certainly is someone who loves guns and loves hunting.
How did you find that expressed in your contact with him?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, one of his best friends is Hank Williams, and I think Hank Williams Jr., that is. Yeah. And I think that after I talked to him the next day, I believe he was going down to Alabama to go dove hunting with Hank Williams Jr. And in his property in Clarkston, there's a barn that's been converted into a screening room, and there's a wild boar that's mounted that he'd shot, and he's got in the bathroom of his house, it's all kind of deer hunting magazines. So he's really that's something that he really enjoys.
Does Kid Rock think he has influence, or is he just looking for a seat at a table at another party, in this case, political?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. He's very leery of becoming one of these celebrity endorsers, but that said, he knows he has a fan base, and he knows that. You know, people are interested in what he has to say, but again, he really wants to kind of avoid being someone who's known as a celebrity running their mouth. And he recently made this public service announcement video with his good friend Sean Penn, who is a liberal,
yeah,
obviously.
That relationship.
And the point of the video is, yes, we have these political beliefs, but we can also be friends and have fun. And at the end of the day, let's not take it too seriously.
You didn't see that friendship in action.
I did not get a chance to talk to Sean Penn, but, you know, part of he enjoys being slightly out of place. And so when he's around Detroit, when I was with him in Detroit, you know, he would be around a really wide variety of people. So it's not as if he's living in some sort of bubble.
Did you ask him the, I guess, $50 million question? Do you want your own talk show?
He could certainly have his own talk show if he wanted it. I think he might get bored if he had to sort of sit in the same place for an hour or two every day. But I think he could definitely, that's definitely one of the wide range of things he could do if he wanted to.
Kid Rock, let's just trade, you know? Let's just trade. You can sit here for a couple of hours every day. Kettle Facena is a staff writer for The New Yorker. His profile is in the current issue of The New Yorker. We've been hearing your take on the Petraeus affair. Lots of you weighing in. Should men and women in uniform hold themselves to a higher standard? Elliot sent us this. To quote Henry Kissinger, power is the ultimate aphrodisiac. Give us your take. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.